WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. And yes, we are still broadcasting in full mono sound at AM 1570 out of WNST on the dial. We'll be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour beginning it again next week. We're going to be at Fadley's on Friday, downtown Lexington Market. While it's still there, come on by. I'll be celebrating the shipping of crab cakes to friends and associates all around the country. This guy might be getting some crab cakes shipped his way. We put the Maryland Crab Cake Tour together with the lottery, our friends at Goodwill. I'm wearing my Goodwill Thanksgiving shirt. And Chad Brown would have appreciated feeding people who needed to be fed last week downtown with our friends at Goodwill as well. Chad is the linebacker who mauled us back in the day as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Now up, by the way, I checked your Twitter. Now up for football Pro Football Hall of Fame nomination. So I do not have a vote, but I would say you're a hell of a football player, dude, and I hope you get some votes. I hope you get some support. It is good to have you aboard. Anytime I get Denver going on, I get to reach to you and talk a little Broncos and bad times in Denver right now, eh, Chad?
Oh, man. Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And, yes, I do enjoy feeding people. And if you need to ship stuff, I think I know a guy who can help you. He owns a shipping company, this guy. Yes, thanks for the shout-out for the Hall of Fame. As they say with the Academy Awards, it's an honor just to be nominated, of course, but I would still love to wear a gold jacket. And then to the Broncos, the last part of your intro there. Yeah, bad times here in Bronco land, no doubt. I don't think the coach is going to be able to finish the season here. Russell Wilson is beginning to stack up as maybe the worst trade and the worst contract in NFL history. That's how bad things are going here.
Well, Deshaun Watson hasn't taken the field yet, so hold my drink here, Chad. I'm not sure, you know. Meanwhile, Lamar is rage-tweeting at just fans and our team here. 11 games now, 11 straight games the entire season, they've had a double-digit second-half lead. Only been done four times in the history of the game, not even those good teams you were on could manage to go 11 weeks with a double-digit lead every week, and they've lost four of them, four out of the last 10 games. The defense right now, it's – I don't know what to say. They've got good players, and I mention you. I mention you every time Justin Houston or JPP, these veteran players, Eric Weddle was one of those guys last year. You and I have had a lot of conversations about the value – this time of the year of having those kinds of players want to be a part of your program and come in here because they're only here for one reason. That's to be in Phoenix where you were the other day broadcasting at the doing a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. So, yeah, those veteran guys, when they join up with a team like the Ravens, they're doing that in hopes to be in the Super Bowl. I joined the New England Patriots at the end of my career trying to steal myself a ring. So those guys need to add their veteran presence, their late season experience, their playoff experience. Those are those guys who need to be the leaders in the locker room, particularly times like this where the boat is rocking a bit. They need to be able to steady the ship. Absolutely. So now you mentioned some of the woes for the Ravens. How about this? The Broncos have scored one touchdown and one field goal in all of the third quarters they've played this season. So at least you have gotten a lead in Baltimore. We don't even get leads here in Denver. We haven't even scored more than 17 points more than a couple of times this entire season. So, yes, as the Bob Marley lyric says, every man's burden is the heaviest. You're feeling your heavy burden out in Baltimore. Well, our burden is way heavier here in Denver with the Broncos.
Well, give me – I mean, when you say the worst signing ever, I'm in Baltimore, right? We do – full sports radio here. So we had the Chris Davis signing, right? Where this guy's making $20 million a year. He's batting 130, 140. Like, it's just so over, worse than anything we've ever seen here because management needs to play him. I'm wondering where this Russell Wilson thing goes because clearly having defensive linemen shouting him in the middle of the game, like, just none of it's any good. It's a bad look, but it does feel like, given his contract, he's more likely to survive this than, oh, maybe anybody else not named the owner at this point.
Well, his cap, his dead cap hit would be $107 million next year. $107 million. So no, they can't get a Russell Wilson, get rid of Russell Wilson this year. It's at least 3 to 4 years down the road before his dead cap hit becomes even a decently palatable number as far as being able to field a competitive football team. So, yes, they are stuck with Russell Wilson, but to give up two number ones, two number twos, a fifth-round draft pick, a backup quarterback in Drew Lock, a starting defensive lineman in Shelby Harris, a starting first-round tight end, all those guys went to Seattle. Seattle may get the third or even the second pick in the draft based on this trade next year. Meanwhile, Geno Smith is putting up better numbers than Russell Wilson did in Seattle. So Pete Carroll and John Snyder seem to be the smartest guys in the room. George Payton here in Denver seems to have bought an absolute lemon. Can't get out of the contract. It's $250 million. He's definitely upset the new owners, who I'm sure George Payton will be fighting to keep his job because, hey, you hired this coach and Coach Hackett, and you gave this contract to Russell Wilson before he even played football for you. You gave him a contract based on what he did in the preseason during training camp when you didn't play anybody at all during the preseason. None of this makes any sense. The Broncos, as I've said a number of times, are in a really bad spot. And this whole Russell Wilson deal is a huge part of it.
Okay, so what's going wrong here? You've been witnessing this, and you've been on the inside of this. You're one of the guys who was the home wreckers trying to make Russell Wilson look this bad on the other side of the ball. What has it been with leadership and, you know, media people calling him a bad guy and saying that he's off with his wife and that he's not committed to being a football player? I mean, look, man, you played with Tom Brady. It may have been a part of costing him his relationship. This moving around franchise to franchise when you're a franchise guy, I mean, it's not – this isn't rotisserie football, right? He's got to come in and win over – forget the fans, the media, any of that. He's got to win over the guys in his room first, right?
I think he's got to be a little bit more of a human being and less of a robot. He can't turn everything into a branding exercise. He still continues to have the slow motion video of his outfit, you know, as he's walking into the stadium before every game. It's like, dude, win some football games before you try to create another hype video, before you try to brand something else. You know, he's pictured with his teammates. They're all wearing official Broncos gear. He's wearing all his three gear, which is in Bronco color, but it's all his own gear. Even a teammate photo is an opportunity to brand something. So he's not connecting to his teammates because he continues to try to overbrand things. He's not connecting to the city because the expectation was, hey, we get Russell Wilson. There's enough talent over there. We're going to be an instant Super Bowl contender. Tim Patrick, the wide receiver who's been lost for the season with an ACL, said it's Super Bowl or bust after signing Russell Wilson. So the expectations were all out of whack with reality. The reality is Russell Wilson is an aging quarterback who has not just lost one step, has lost two steps, can no longer buy time in the pocket as he once did. His desire to make plays downfield and bypass what the defense has given him is going counter to what Coach Hackett turned Aaron Rodgers from a very, very good quarterback in Green Bay to a back-to-back MVP when he was in Green Bay. All those things he got Aaron Rodgers to agree with and become, Russell Wilson is still pushing back. Let's not forget, Russell Wilson had to be pushed to wear a wristband before the Jacksonville game over in London. It took 8 weeks for him to wear a wristband for an operation that has continued operational issues on offense with delay of game penalties, poor use of timeouts, can't get the call from the sideline into the huddle and do the calls and checks at the line of scrimmage. So there's a Russell Wilson factor here that is undeniable why the Broncos are where they are and probably be where they are for the foreseeable future.
Well, yeah, if you know, we could bet on everything now with sports, right? Like bets like Fred Flintstone. If you could bet on delay of game penalties, I'll bet the over because the Ravens have had the same problem getting the offense, getting plays in. Lamar's never up at the line of scrimmage identifying defenses or audibling out of play. I mean, literally, it's all they can do to get the 5-4-3. Lamar's clapping the hands, stomping the feet, and it hasn't gotten any better here. Look, to your point, double-digit leads every week, all season long. There's some evidence there that there's some quality here. I've been watching a lot of World Cup. I love that word. Some quality in Baltimore. But the offensive side, right? Running game, a mess. Ronnie Stanley not playing changes things offensively. Mark Andrews, healthy? Maybe. Wide receiver, They don't have an answer. I mean, they got Hollywood Brown out. Rashad Bateman was supposed to come in. He's not there. It's DeMarcus Robinson. It's Devin Duvernay. Josh Oliver had a game the other day against his old team in Jacksonville. But consistent weapons. Chad, the third quarter, when things are going a little awry and they've got to make a first down no matter what, Lamar's running the ball. That's what they do. They go back. It's like a binky to them. And he ran with his shoulder up at this point. And I think to myself, here's a guy without representation, a guy that's playing for this $250 million contract. And here I am with you, and you're giving me the cautionary tale of giving a quarterback $250 million. And what happens when any of that goes a little awry? And this particular guy was tweeting just absurd nonsense Sunday after the game, attacking a fan in a way that just really speaks to some level, and then responded by wanting Jameson Hensley from ESPN's job because he called a slur. So I this is all going on in 24 hours after the game, and this is a Super Bowl contender, and this is a team that I think defensively has that going on, but offensively right now, some of the things you're talking about getting plays in and who are the playmakers, we're wondering that about Lamar right now.
Well, I saw the issues with Lamar over the last 24 hours. If you want to be a franchise quarterback, there's only so far out of bounds you can go before you're no longer considered that. Of course, you have to do the on-the-field stuff. You got to win. You got to be dynamic at that position. And Lamar has shown that he can be dynamic. Now, is there a track record of playoff success? No, there isn't. And there's been far too many of these off-the-field tweeting, put the phone down, man, kind of things where you're causing controversy where there shouldn't be any, and you shouldn't have such thin skin that you're even paying attention to what some fan has to say, much less replying to it. Those are the things that we've seen here in Denver, where guys pick up the phone in the last couple of seasons and choose to, clap back at a fan. It does nothing for you. The whole thing about Twitter is there's always more people who want to clap back at you. You can't win that battle. So for competitive guys who want to win, they got to recognize there is no win in that. Lamar, there's no way you can win that battle. So don't even attempt to fight it. Now, we were having some of those same issues here that you mentioned during your conversation as well. The lack of weapons. Cortland Sutton does appear to be what he was when he was given that contract last year. We're down to third and fourth and six wide receivers out there playing. We're down to a third left tackle and a fourth right tackle. So Russell Wilson, to give him a little bit of cover, doesn't have the starting lineup out there. But even when they were, he wasn't lighting it up then. So it sounds like it's two football teams who are kind of limping their way through the season. Unfortunately for the Broncos, I don't think their coach will finish the march with them.
Well, for the Ravens, you look at the schedule and it's 3-7, 4-6, they don't play a credible playoff team until Cincinnati at the end of the year. And the games you're supposed to win, I don't know where Jacksonville is, but I saw a quarterback there that's a 1-1 that looks a little bit like he's gone to the Peyton Manning school of running a 2-minute offense, throws the ball like a 1-1, and really came after a very credible veteran Raven defense on a 78-degree day and beat them. And this is the fourth time the defense has had problems, but I thought Roquan Smith would change things. Certainly it did early on for them, and he made an unbelievable play to stop a touchdown. It was Ray Lewis-y. But they've got collectively good talent on this defense and good enough talent to stop a Josh Allen, stop a Patrick Mahomes, stop a Tua Tagovailoa if they need to. But thinking about this team, and you'll get to see them play this week, thinking about them winning four games and being that team in January, I'm not seeing that assembling right now. And I'm not seeing the temperament to assemble that right now.
I would say overall, this may be the worst year of NFL football that I can remember. And I think we are seeing the kind of de-evolution of the game. There's no team that is just constantly up. There's no team that can ride the razor's edge. There are always ups and downs. Particularly this year, there are teams that are full of talent like the Ravens who just simply can't get it together. So the lack of offseason work, which came with the new CBA, the lack of padded work during training camps, which came with the new CBA, all these coaches doing this new football, listening to the science. We're not going to play our starters at all in the preseason. I think we were seeing the game kind of de-evolve.
And COVID took football away from all of these guys at one point, the college guys specifically, the young guys coming into the league. Not all those cats had anything like 3-4 normal years of football, like that scouts would want, like coaches would want, right?
Yeah, so we're getting all these young guys in the league who went through this COVID experience or maybe weren't in the league long enough to be a part of the older, more practice-focused CBA. And now we're seeing that it's hard to play NFL football and be consistent if you don't have padded practices. You can't develop offensive linemen without padded practice. That is a position that requires contact to be good at it. You can't get a cohesive relationship between your brand new head coach here in Denver, who hasn't called plays in a couple of years, and your brand new quarterback in Russell Wilson, and all these weapons here in Denver, you can't get them on the same page if none of those guys play in the preseason. So we're seeing the holes in this new way of doing football, and it's showing up with crappy football and inconsistent football on the football field week in and week out.
Chad Brown is here. He was not inconsistent on the football field. He is up for a Hall of Fame honors after a 15-year career. He wreaked havoc around here. And I've told you this, and I've said this over a cocktail, you know, at various points. You were the best player in the league for a little while. I don't know what that gets you for the Hall of Fame, but certainly there was a period of time where I would have taken you over anybody. And certainly the Seattle Seahawks felt that way, the Steelers. I know Marvin was sad to lose you as well, you know, back in all of that. But seeing the game change in this way, and how do you feel about it? I mean, you call a lot of college games. You're out to Encompass Media. I disturbed you in the middle of calling a game. I apologize on Sunday. I wasn't aware you were calling the late game, but there you were doing Chargers in the cars. I mean, you're still very engaged in the game as sort of a former player that can elbow around, but also a guy that you're not going to be a mouthpiece for anybody. I mean, you're too old and been through the fire for that to speak your mind and to be around the game at this point. A lot of guys of your era have drifted maybe a little bit away from the game, certainly not as close to it in stadiums all across the country in all sorts of ways the way you are.
Well, I love this game, man. I absolutely love this game. And, you know, there's a connection to football with just who we are as Americans. A tough physical game, coming together as a team to achieve great goals. There can be a Cinderella story like the Bengals last year. There's all those storylines. But as we move forward with football and we begin to see the changes in the game, in some ways it's taken away from what we grew up with and what we expect football to be. Now, I understand that it's not you, it's not me, it's not Roger Goodell who gets to figure out the future of football in America. In the end, it's going to be little Timmy's mom. If little Timmy's mom doesn't feel comfortable with little Timmy playing football, there's not going to be enough football players in 50 years for the NFL to exist. So the NFL has to make some changes to make the game, at least perceive the game to be safer so the moms of America can feel comfortable. But along the way of that pursuit, we're losing so much of what made football so awesome. Now, am I okay with players after the game trading jerseys? I suppose I am. It's not something that I would have ever done. You know, maybe in the offseason I can kick it with you. But for now, man, you're in my division. I'm going to see you in a couple of weeks. You're still my enemy. Well, I live here in Denver. And in the offseason, my kids went to the same schools as a lot of Bronco kids. And I couldn't be friends with Howard Griffin, their great fullback, because he and I were going to go to battle twice a year. I can't be friendly with you, man. You're trying to take my head off. I'm trying to take your head off. So the game has changed where these a little bit of the AAU basketball thing has crept into this now, and guys have a more of an allegiance to each other than to their teams or to the Shield or to the league. So this evolution of the rules of the game, the way the game is played, the way practices are going, and the evolution of the players and how players think. Let's not forget, there's going to be a new crop of players entering into the NFL who will be armed with hundreds of thousands of dollars or even millions of dollars from NIL deals in college. These are going to be rookies who are going to come into the league with a super high set of expectations for what the league is supposed to do for them as opposed to what they can do for their team.
President Kennedy, excuse me, Chad Brown here, asking not what the player can do for the franchise. Tell everybody what you do, because you tell me what you do, because I saw you doing Oklahoma State. I saw you at an NFL game. You're doing a lot of radio out there, but you do sort of a random mix of games, right, as a color analyst.
Yeah, so I do some games for ESPN and Big 12 now. I've done a couple of games for them this year. Mainly Compass Media is my main game outfit. I do both college and pro with them. I just had the Chargers and Cardinals last night, as you talked about. So I think I'm done with college for the year. Maybe a bowl game will sneak in there, but mainly NFL from here on out. So I get to see all sides of football. I think different than a lot of broadcasters who are just focused on one or the other, I get to walk through the tailgates and hear the band and see the cheerleaders and chat with the alumni at a college game and do a great game like Bedlam, Oklahoma State. And then the very next week or even the next day, I could be calling a college game. I'm sorry, an NFL game, which a very different set of circumstances surrounding it and a very more professional corporate feel to it all. So I get to see it all. I'm very lucky and privileged to be able to do what I do.
Dude, I get that map behind you. And before you came on, I was going to say, oh, is that like the Brown family, family roadster where you've been to, wherever, you've been to Beijing, you put the pin down. Because I got to get me one of those because I've been a lot of places. And then I find that it's just a trucking map or a shipping map. Is that a fact or no?
No, that is an actual world map behind me. And there are little dots in every place that I've been.
That is what it is.
I've been to 49 states, haven't made it to Alaska just yet. It's got all my travels through Southeast Asia, all my European travels, my travels to Africa, all those are on the map. I got my little dots, sprinkled all over that thing. And I've got a list here on my desk of places I'm going to visit as soon as I possibly can.
Okay. All right. So now it's getting chunky with Chad Brown. Now we got to figure out whether you and I are meant to go chase the Northern Lights together because it's something on your list. So give me your list here. I got you laughing now because my wife and I have been talking about this. My wife's almost died twice and we've been to the bottom of the world in New Zealand. And there was a point where I really wanted to go to Antarctica and then Baldinger did it. And I'm like, I don't like being that cold. That being said, I'm trying to go to Northern Finland to do the Northern Lights because the Northern Lights are the thing I have to do. Jen has to do a safari somewhere in there. I'll get to the Maldives and some of these other places that I've got to get to, right? I still got to get to Italy and Springsteen's on tour next year. So give me your list, dude. What do we got?
All right. So I'm a huge foodie. I love Asian food, so I got to get myself back to Japan. Last time I was in Japan, I just stayed in Tokyo for 9 days, which is amazing because Tokyo's got 37 million people in it. So you can spend 9 days in Tokyo and feel like you didn't see even a slice of it.
Once you go, Tokyo, right? I mean, I went right before the plague. My wife and I went to Tokyo and Seoul to see U2. And the U2 concert in Satyam, the best. I've seen U2 100 times. Best I've ever seen them. But there's something about Tokyo that I need the energy, man. I love Japan. So yes, and yes, take me.
Yeah, Japan is awesome. I got to get back to Korea. I got some business over in Busan. While I'm there this time, I'm going to go see Seoul, Korea as well. I've got to spend some time in Africa. After being in a couple of spots a couple of years ago, I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. I've got a friend who was buying a house over there. I'm going to spend some time with him in Nigeria. My parents just did South Africa a couple of years ago. So they've got a bunch of folks I got to hook up with over there and do a safari. And then, I haven't done much of Europe. I did Spain when I was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We played over there in a preseason game. So I got to get back over to Europe sooner than later. But first up, man, I got to get back to Japan. The feeling and just love I had in Tokyo, I've got to experience that again. That's my first.
You went once to Tokyo?
Yes.
Well, how long ago was it?
3 years ago.
I've been twice. I went in 07 when Ripken went over before the Beijing Olympics. We went to Beijing, went to Hong Kong, and went to Tokyo, and then had to go back, wanted to go back through Jen's battles and illnesses. We've actually been to Australia, been to Europe a couple of times since then because our donor's from Germany. We sent him to the game in Munich a couple of weeks ago to see the GOAT play in Munich. So we've had some fun with that. But, dude, I am so with you. And Adam Jones played over there. He's he's doing a podcast here now in town. And if I get together with him ever, it would be talking about playing over there, eating over there. And like you, I've been to Tokyo a couple times now. Love it, love it, love it. But I am not going back without adding a week to go to other places. I mean, we want to go to the aquarium. And there's some things we need to do to go do over there.
Yeah, I'm a big koi fish guy, so I've got to go up to the mountains and see where they breed the koi fish. I got to go to Osaka and see all that crazy, you know, neon lights and all the food and the partying in Osaka. There's just so much to do over there. I, on my last trip to Japan, also went to Hong Kong, went to Korea, went to China as well. I'm not itching to get back to China. I wasn't in Beijing. I was up in some more of the manufacturing areas, and life was a little harsh. It wasn't quite the vacation spot I was hoping for. But yeah, definitely Japan as soon as humanly possible.
All right, dude, whenever you're going, I'm going, man. I'm ready to go eat with you all over Japan.
All right.
And here's the my favorite story about this. In 2007, we went to Beijing, and really hard to communicate, right? We were at the State Department, but my wife and I went out on our own, away from where we had any translators, and we went in to get my wife ordered Dandan Szechuan noodles, and I pointed at a few things in the Chinese menu. You could cut the smoke, cigarette smoke. It's Beijing. It's 2007. And they brought me, you know, a bowl of something to eat, noodle related. And they brought chopsticks, and I'm missing a finger. I have my finger cut off. I'm an official amputee, so let me play the Wounded Warriors game, which I'm going to sucker you into 1 year, get you out running around like a football player again 1 year with us at the Super Bowl, maybe in Phoenix in a couple of months. But so I couldn't eat with chopsticks. And they came over, and, you know, they're Asian, so they're like, hang on, they'll be right back. And they came back, and they brought me toothpicks. So at that, and I have all this on video. It's up on YouTube. You can go watch it and laugh. So I really took it upon myself to say, I really need to learn to eat with chopsticks. And I have since 2007, so it's been 15 years now, right? I have since learned to eat with chopsticks. And I'm so – it's the thing I'm most proud of as an adult, that I've learned to master chopsticks, and I eat everything. I'll eat a cheeseburger with chopsticks, Chad Brown, you know?
Oh, I am very chopstick proficient, as you would guess, for a guy who travels. I will get on a plane to get some great sushi. So I'm chopsticks master, no doubt about that. Man, yeah, good stuff.
Sake, that's the word of the day. All right, Chad Brown. Hey, man, it's great catching up with you and great keeping the relationship going. And I do hope if you're at the Super Bowl, we get together. We're hoping to broadcast out there again this year out in Phoenix where you were the other day, and had our fingers crossed that maybe the Ravens can get there. But tough sledding in the AFC, man.
Definitely tough sledding for the Ravens. We'll see if they can get things together, because it's usually not a team that gets hot early. It's a team that gets hot late who gets into the Super Bowl. And I've got my second home in Arizona, so I will certainly be there, and I will see you there, my friend.
They got snakes there. I had to get snakes in because I'm the only guy that brings you on the podcast and talk about snakes. Chad Brown can be followed out on the Twitter thing and following around the football games and preaching some good wisdom and some social justice, and certainly getting the vote out and speaking the good things that that we speak about around here. If he were a Raven, we'd love him. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.